Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and good morning, everyone. I am Evangelist Tanita here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we want to welcome you to the Saturday morning broadcast. Today is February the 10th, 2024, and we will continue with our series, Today is a New Day. I'll hand the show over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. And Father, we thank you this day for all that you're doing in our life. We submit to you. We allow you to have your way. We allow you to speak to us today. We ask forgiveness for sins today. We ask for you to just take away the sin, iniquity, and the transgressions that we have committed today. And we also, in like manner, forgive those who have sinned against us, caused iniquity and transgression against us and our family today. It's a new day. And we ask, Father, for a clean slate today, not just for ourselves, but for those who have offended us. We ask you to clean their slate, knowing that if we allow that to happen for them, you will allow it to happen for us. So we hold no grudges against them. We allow you, Father God, to mend within us your attitude this day. In the precious name of your Son, Yahushua. Amen and amen. All right. Well, we have got an awesome passage of scripture that is well known for most of those believers out there. But the manner in which we're going to go about it may be something that I pray that the Father enlightens you and begins to ignite to be able to not just see it in a different way, but also to activate it in the way that he sees it and desires for us to activate it. And that's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Now, we're going to look at this in the King James, and we're also going to look at it in the Amplified. But before we do, there's a couple of things that I want to make sure that everyone out there is paying attention to. And that is, number one, when Yahushua says, when he uses the word rest, what we're going to do is we're going to help to define that word from a standpoint of New Testament believers understanding how Old Testament believers rested in Yah. We're going to define that. We're going to structure it. We're going to begin to make sure that we understand not just the definition, but also understand how the Father sees it so that we are fulfilling how he sees that we should be resting in him. So when we get ready to read it, let's get our fine-tuned mindset on understanding what Yahushua is saying pertaining to rest. The next thing is understanding that rest, or the resting that Yahushua is talking about here, and the yoke is referring to how to build our faith or our trust in him. So we're going to explore both of those aspects right after Evangelist Anita reads it in the King James and in the Amplified. If you could do that now. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Again, that is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, and I will read the King James Version first. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the Amplified reads, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for all your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. Rabbi John?
Amen. One word in there, in both translations, I'm going to change or tweak just a little bit. When it says, learn from me, what the Holy Spirit is telling me to share with you is to learn of me. In other words, learn the individual Yahushua. I know Evangelist Tanita just recently got married, and she's at least on her 1-year anniversary.
Yeah,
but
amen.
But within that 1 year, you have already knew your husband, because he was your childhood sweetheart.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So during that is what began to cause the 1-year marriage to be so sweet, because she knew about him. She knew of him. So if I were to ask her, well, when did you know the type of food or the type of sports channel or the type of team that he likes or the type of sports that he likes, it would not be, in this case, during their 1-year time of marriage. It would be throughout the years that they have spent together learning about each other. Now, why is that important? It's important because when I read, and when we read Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, what Yeshua is literally saying in the Hebrew is learn about me. Not just become my disciple from a standpoint of doing the things that I say should be done. Yeshua had 12 disciples, but only one of those disciples knew him. Only one of those disciples focused on the man, Yahushua. And when it came time to understand and to know the deep things of God, individuals like Peter, who didn't have that kind of relationship, even though he was considered the leader, when it was time to get the most intimate details pertaining to what Yeshua was speaking about, even Peter would go to that one person that had that special relationship and ask him to ask Yeshua to explain. In order for us to walk in the fullness of that word rest, we have got to get to know that person. Because that, knowing that person, knowing the good, the bad, and the ugly, understanding the likes and dislikes, understanding the desires of the heart, and understanding the heart of that person, that is actually what builds your faith. If I were to say to Evangelist Anita, okay, what is your husband's favorite food? And what is the type of food that he detests, that he just hates? She would know that. And she would have comfort in knowing which plate to fix for him versus which one not to fix. In our relationship with Yehoshua, it's a matter of spending that quality time getting to really know him the way the Apostle John knew Yehoshua. Knowing him in that capacity causes our burdens to be lifted and to take on his lighter burdens, because we understand what he will do for us. When you go back and look at historical evidence of this, the three Hebrew boys knew their Yah. They knew their God. And even if God did not deliver them, they knew it was far better for them to be in right relationship with their Yah than to bow down to an idol. And it was fortunate for them, it was a blessing that they were delivered. But they even said to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, even if you don't, even if our Yah doesn't deliver us out of your hand, we have such a relationship with him that we understand that this will only bring us closer to him and not further apart. And we need to think about that for a second. So if the Father did not deliver them and they died, their death on this earth would just cause them to be in the full presence of their Heavenly Father for eternity. They understood that. That was why it was easy for them to not be burdened with the cares of this life. It was easy for them because they had the burden of Yah to understand that this is temporal every single way possible. And to be with him is eternal in every way possible. So if I begin to look at every situation and circumstance that I face, every single one, if I look at that from that perspective, then I'm already actively resting in Yehoshua, resting in God, because I'm viewing it the way he views it. And in doing so, when he speaks to me, when we converse back and forth, every aspect of everything that happens will always be answered from that standpoint. And therefore, the anxieties that come and all of that will have no place in us, will have no opportunity. When Peter walked on the water, he asked for Yeshua to bid him to come. The moment Yeshua said yes, he stepped out on the word, out of the boat, and continued until he got to Yeshua. And then took his eyes off or stopped resting. He literally stopped resting, stopped believing, stopped exercising his faith in the words that Yeshua spoke, and began to exercise his fear in the waves and in everything that was around him, began to take precedence over what Yeshua said that he could do and would do. What is it today that the Father has spoken to you and said that by my strength, by my power, by my relationship with you, that you will be able to do these things? Standing that the adversary is there to cause you and me to get out of peace, out of rest, out of perspective. But the Heavenly Father has said, this is the way it should be. You are called to be. But you're not called, nor am I, called to be it alone. He promised you, the Heavenly Father promised you through Yeshua that he would never leave you nor forsake you. So whatever he is calling in you today, he's not calling you to do it alone. He's calling you to learn the definition of rest and to begin to rest in him, knowing that he will come through with what he promised, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the enemy and the world is saying to you. As long as you and I are resting in Yah, then it has to come to pass. The adversary has to get out of the way. He has to give up that which belongs to you, that has been given to you by Yah. Father, we thank you and we glorify you that you're teaching us how to know you every day, to spend that quality time, to get to know the ins and outs and the different aspects, the nuances of you. Because by going and knowing you, by walking like Enoch did and talking to you and spending quality time with you, it rises and raises our faith so that we are able to walk above and beyond all of the negative circumstances that the world has to offer, that the devil has designed against us. You're teaching us the true definition, Father, of the word rest. So we choose, we make a quality decision right now, according to your understanding and not our own of the term rest. We choose to rest in you. We choose to learn about you. We choose to walk with you. We choose to lean upon your words, your promises. Build your relationship that you desire of us. We choose that this day in the precious name of Yahushua. Amen and amen. Shalom, shalom.